Good morning. It is a blessing to be here this morning. I was blessed by the opening thoughts as Melvin read from Hebrews. That first verse says, "Wherefore, holy brethren." I'm glad that I can come to the state of Maine and we can be together with holy brethren this morning. But it's not because of what I have done or what you have done, but the next phrase says, "Partakers of the heavenly calling." That's why we are holy brethren. Not because I'm so good that I can stand up here and say, guys, look at me, but because of what Jesus has done. And so we'd like to do that this morning. We'd like to focus on Jesus, for it says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. This morning, for a meditation here, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I suppose I should tell you something about myself, just because I'm sure you're curious. I was sitting here looking at you this morning, and probably now you're looking at me and wondering about us and our family. We live in Minerva, Ohio. I think Josh would know something about Minerva, and that's where my wife was from. And after we were married, or actually before we were married, I moved out there, and that's where we now live. And it's in June here, it'll be 15 years that we were married. And we have six daughters, and we love our daughters. We enjoy them very much. And part of the church there, I don't know if any of you would know Johnny Miller. He seems to be the person from our church that everyone knows. I don't know if you read the budget or if you connected with CAM, the billboard ministry, but Johnny is the person that everybody knows. And so that's where we're from. Enough about me. But as a background to the devotional here, about a week ago on a Saturday morning, I went for a bike ride because I was tired. I was trying to drum up some energy to get everything done that I wanted to in the day. So I went down the road and a few miles and was coming back through. And we have a neighbor that every community has one like this man, kind of the crusty old man that everybody knows, and lives by himself. And he told one man before I took him in his house, he said, I'll just tell you, when I sit down to read the newspaper and I get done with it, I drop it, and that's where it stays. And he has four pianos in his living room, but you can't see any of them. That's just what he's like. So anyhow, I was coming by his house, and here he comes out of his door, and my first thought to my shame was, boy, if I keep going, I can miss him. And no, I probably should. And so he comes out and he says hi, and he loves to give us tomato plants. The first thing he mentioned was, do you need any tomato plants? Well, no, we already had our tomato plants. And so he was a little disappointed. And he says, would you want some peach trees? And I was taken back because you don't normally just give away peach trees. At least in Ohio we don't. Maybe in Maine you do. I don't know. And I don't know. I mean, and he said, well, come down and look. And so he takes me into his backyard. And his backyard is the outdoor version of the inside, where there's cars and there's weeds and there's briars and there's rocks. And so we walk down there, and he's showing me all these peach trees that are growing wild, and he's proud of them. He sprays them, and they're the peaches. He don't know what kind they are, but they're comparable to Red Havens. Okay, so get down there, and there's these two little peach trees growing down there. And he says, here are the peach trees. I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't think about you're giving me peach trees out of here, you know, that are in the ground. And well, you want them? And well, I don't know. I have my day planned, you know. And, well, come get them anytime you want. I'm going to be gone all day, but come get them. And so I went home, and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know if I'll make it or not. I mean, wild peach trees, I don't know. But about a half hour later, he stops in. And he said, you know, I dumped some water around those trees so that it'll loosen the soil up, that when you come and get them, you know, hopefully it'll be ready for you. And well, this man went out of his way on his way to work on a Saturday morning to come tell me that he went out of his way to dump water on these trees so that I can come get these trees. So I've got to get them. So I went out and I dug some holes in my yard and went over and walk in the backyard, and there's old cars everywhere. So there's got to be motor oil draining out of these old cars and into the dirt. And, you know, typical us, you know, we think, man, this place is a mess. You know, do I really want anything from here? But I go down there, and he had a spud bar and a shovel already. And so I started loosening the soil up around the roots of these little peach trees. And I had a surprise. I expected rocks. I expected junk boards. But what I found was loose, crumbly, rich soil. And I was surprised. I didn't expect that. So I dug them and I took them and I planted them in my yard. And later I was looking at them there and I was contrasting the differences. We don't have a fancy place. We live in a double wide, but I like to mow my yard. And it was nicely mowed. There was no weeds in the middle of my yard. But when I had dug the soil, I thought I had good soil. I mean, I had about a foot of topsoil. But when I dug it, it was solid. It came out in clumps. And when I went over there into the middle of a bunch of weeds, briars, old cars, rocks, I had found loose, crumbly, rich soil. And it made me think, what am I like? You know, we think we're pretty good. But if I'm like my yard, I have some decent topsoil, but it's not nearly as good as what this man had in the middle of the junk in his yard. And so I had to wonder, what am I like? What are my roots in? And that's what I'd like to think about a little bit this morning in Ephesians. What am I rooted in? What is the topsoil of my heart like? And what are my roots into? And so let's read here in Ephesians chapter 3, starting to read in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What brought me here is verse 17, one phrase, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Stop and think about that. That's talking about us, what I am rooted in. Just like a tree puts its roots down into the soil, and it stands there, firmly rooted, because of what its roots are into. Well, we are to be rooted and grounded in love. Now, in the world today, when we talk about love, we generally hear of an all-inclusive love. It doesn't matter what you're like. We can call each other brothers. It doesn't matter if you're living in sin or not. It doesn't matter what you are. But I just love you, and let's just, you know, live together. But that's not really what it's talking about here, I don't believe. But it's talking about the love of Christ. So we're going to start there. We're going to leave other people out of this now. And we're going to look at ourselves. What am I rooted in? And when we talk about love, it's not hard to love someone when all is going well. If I feel love coming, you know, from someone that I care about, it's easy to get along with them. You know, our thoughts run together. We you know, I start a sentence, she finishes it, or, you know, she says something, that's what I was thinking about. And we get along together. It's not hard to love that person in return. But if the love isn't there, I mean, whether it be a neighbor or another person, if they're irate, they're angry, they're very unloving, it can be hard to love that person because there's nothing coming from there. But if we are rooted in love, think about that. If we are rooted in the love of Christ, if what my entire life is based on is Jesus, then it doesn't matter what I feel coming from other people, I can still love them. And that is what we are to be like. That's the picture here. We are to be rooted and grounded in love. And then it says, well, first of all, maybe we should think about what are some things that could ruin our love. What are some things that would prevent the soil in my yard, speaking as an illustration, what would keep it from being loose and fertile, rich? And the first thing I think of is pride. You know, we had a topic recently at our church that the title was The Pride of Life. And the brother brought out the fact that the original sin of Lucifer was pride. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will be better than him. And Proverbs, I think it says that only by pride cometh contention. And so I think pride is probably something that most other sins would stem from. Selfishness. Contention was mentioned. I care about myself more than other people. And that makes some rocky ground in a hurry in our hearts. But when we have the love of God within us, if we are rooted in the love of Christ, if that is the source of our nutrition, just like a tree puts its roots into the soil, and the majority of its nutrition comes from its roots and comes from the soil that it is a part of, and that's why soil is so important to plants. If that is my foundation, if I'm getting my nutrition out of the soil of the love of God, then I can stand firm. I can be loving, even if others are not loving. And he says then in verse 18, he says, well, maybe I should read 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. We'll stop there again. How many of you comprehend space? I don't. I know it's big. And there's spaces there that blow all comprehension. But yet I have an idea. And we have terms like light years. The distance that light will travel in a year. And to get it down to our size, the speed of light is roughly 180,000 miles per second. And so light can go around the world 7 times in a second, a bit more. And to put that into perspective, you get an airplane that goes 500 miles an hour, it's still going to take them 10 hours, no, 50 hours to go around the Earth. Whereas light can do that 7 times in 1 second. One star that's fairly close to Earth, Proxima Centauri, it takes 4.25 light years for the light from that star to get to Earth. In other words, even traveling at 180,000 miles per second, it takes 4 years and 3 months for the light from that star to get to Earth. And that's a close star. Space is enormous. And so we comprehend vaguely how vast space is. It's similar to the love of Christ. We comprehend vaguely how vast it is. And he says that ye may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth of it. And so yes, we know it because we experience it, but yet we don't. It says that ye may know that love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what we are to be like. We are to know the love of Christ. We are to take that richness in from the soil of God's word into our life so that we can be filled with that same love, that same vastness, that same richness. Even though we only comprehend it vaguely, yet we are to be filled with that. And that is what, when we look into the mirror of the love of Christ, that is what I should see. That's what the world should see when they look at me. They shouldn't see pride, contention, arrogance, all those. 1 Corinthians 13 lists various things that love is not. They should not see those things, but they should see the richness and the fullness of Christ in me because of where my roots are, the roots of the tree that I am. Jesus is our perfect example. Yeah, he was here on earth as the Son of Man, but yet he was fully man. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet remained sinless. How? Well, he was filled with the fullness of God. He said, I and my Father are one. And he said, whatever my Father tells me, I do that. And that is how we are to be. We are to be filled with that same fullness, that same richness, so that we are one with God the Father, and that we are living as Jesus would. Really, that's what we are. We were created in the image of God so that people around us can see the image of God walking here in Exeter, Corinna, whatever your address is. People should be able to see God walking when they see you. That's what we are called to be. Jesus was one in the Spirit with God, one in goal, one in mind with his Father. And he was rooted in the life of his Father. And so he was able to live a life without sin. He was flawless. He was perfect. In spite of everything that he faced and that happened in his life. And so again, we think, well, he was God, right? Well, now let's read verse 20 and 21 here in Ephesians 3. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And I don't know how you are, but I look at Jesus and I look at the Apostle Paul and some of those the men of God in the Scriptures, and I say, you know, I can't be like that. I get upset when you know, things don't go well. I get impatient or whatever it may be. Really? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think in me, in you. He can do that because of the love of God that we have our roots in, that we have our lives based on, where the source of our nutrition is. And so really, you know, I often think of that in terms of other things out there, you know, whatever it may be. God can do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. But it's not out there. It's right here. Right here is what counts to God. He doesn't necessarily care about if I meet my financial goals. I mean, yes, he does. But that's not his primary concern. He's not concerned about the peripheral things out there. What he's concerned about is right here. It's about the love of Christ inside me, about the nutrition inside me. And he can do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think as far as what it pertains to me when it comes to perfecting me in the image of Christ. And so that is my challenge, that it's God's challenge to all of us today. What type of soil do I have my roots in? What am I feeding on? What type of nutrition am I looking for and am I pulling into myself? Am I firmly rooted in the love of God so that when things happen this week, and they will, something will happen this week, that my first impulse will be to, oh no, I need to respond in love. Even though there's no love coming here, there is love coming here. And my roots are in that. And so I can respond in love to that person that is very unloving. Not for my glory, not so that people say, wow, look at that godly man, but unto his glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without and amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, we come to you this morning, and we thank you for the love of Christ. We thank you that we, as your children, can experience that love. And as we come to you in repentance, and we confess our need of you, and we ask you into our lives, and ask you to cleanse our lives, and we can then walk in newness of spirit and newness of life. And I thank you for the rich soil that we can put our roots down into, that as we read the Word of God, and as we commune with you, and as we commune with your children here, that our roots can go down into rich soil, and that we can draw nutrition into our lives, that we may grow into the fullness of Christ. May we live lives based on Jesus. We know that his life was one of sacrificial love. We know that that is what we are called to. And may we, in spite of what we may face, the trials that may come, the trials that will come, that we can respond in love because that is what we are rooted in. And may we bring glory to your name. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.